Friends, as we saw last week, God knows full well the barrenness, the desolation and destruction the sin brings about in our lives. And he hates it. He hates it. But he loves us and always seeks to lead us toward the redemption he offers. His tender love is clearly displayed in today's first reading as he offers comfort in light of the ravages of sin. He doesn't want people to needlessly suffer by continuing to go farther and farther away from him. Notice, though, that this comfort doesn't come magically. No, it comes about by preparing the way for the Lord. That refrain that we hear time and time again throughout Advent. And what's being pointed towards here is conversion, right? Conversion of heart. A voice cries out in the desert, we heard. In the desert. A dry, barren place. We're meant to take note of that. Yes, this voice cries out, make straight a highway for our God. The rough and rugged land will be smoothed out, and then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He wants to reveal his own glory in and through us. He wants us to radiate his glory to the world. Obviously, though, this is not easy. Not at all. This, what we're talking about here, is total transformation. Not just a little bit. Total transformation. And only God can do it. Although we need to allow him to. He's never going to force it on us. We need to allow him to do this wonderful work. So that is your job, brothers and sisters, to say yes, to stay awake. But not just on a personal level. It starts there, yes, personal conversion, but also to go out and proclaim God's goodness, as we heard, at the top of your voice, so that many others can also follow suit. That's what it means to be a Eucharistic people, to allow the Lord to draw us deeper into the mystery of his own life, and then to bring others, many others, into the fold, to build up that mystical body of Christ. Now, John the Baptist certainly isn't afraid to do this, as we see in today's gospel passage. He's the very epitome of the voice crying out in the wilderness, right? Out there in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord by proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, right? Conversion. And keep in mind that the Baptist is a bit of a weird dude, right? I mean, he's kind of a weirdo, but and he's not only distinctive in his fearless and fiery preaching, but also in his lifestyle. I don't think too many people were walking around then or even today, you know, wearing camel's hair, right? That's kind of an odd fashion statement. And he's eating locusts and wild honey. Probably not the first thing on the menus back in that day, right? In Judah. No doubt God wants John to be very distinctive. This isn't happenstance here. He's not doing this just to be alternative, right? He's not reacting against the man or anything. The Lord's coordinating this. He wants John to stick out like a sore thumb. I think, well, why is that? Well, all of the prophets are like this to some degree, but John takes the cake. He's the culmination of all Old Testament prophecy and then the beginning of New Testament prophecy. He represents the crucial inflection point, right? With the Messiah coming into the world, he's paving the way for the Messiah. And so he's the kind of the ultimate in terms of sticking out like a sore thumb, like the prophets do. Because there's a reason why God put Jesus at this moment in time in that place. Because things weren't going so well. And so John comes on the scene with quite the bang, doesn't he? Standing in direct contradiction to the hypocrisy and shallowness of Jewish practice at that time. In general, I mean, there were holy Jews that were growing in relationship with the Lord, like Mary and Joseph and Jesus, right? So it wasn't like everybody was going up, but the majority of people followed along the line of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elites in Jerusalem, right? Who had their nice, clean, long robes and their clean worship and the letter of the law. But then why was there all this chaos around them, right? Why were people not truly happy? Why was the Roman occupation there? And so on and so forth. So John comes on the scene amidst all of this. And amazingly, what happens? He gets laughed off, right? They're like, come on, weirdo. No one's going to listen to you. You know, get lost. No. People from all over Judea, and all, it said all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, is what the gospel passage said, flocked to him to acknowledge their sins and be baptized. This is really amazing. They leave all the temple in Jerusalem and the Pharisees and all that. They leave it behind and they go out to this wacko out in the desert, about 30 miles away, out in the wilderness, wearing camel's hair, shouting and preaching and telling them they need to do something with their sins. They go to see him. This is truly amazing if you think about it. Apparently they're sick of the empty religion from the priests and the elites that's being proffered in Jerusalem. And not only do they receive John's baptism, but they also learn that, as John says, one mightier than I is coming after me. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ah, but will they recognize and appreciate this mighty one as they do with John? The short answer is no. Right? We know how this goes. Jesus ends up on the cross because they don't exactly accept him, right? He's too radical for them. Now, John's pretty wacky, right? He's a wild guy, but they kind of feel all right, you know, going to him and whatnot. But then Jesus is just simply too much. Simply too much. Sadly, friends, this is often the case with us too. Jesus makes big demands of us. And we'd rather domesticate him, keep him under control, right? Maybe give him a little bit of our lives, but not everything. No way. What's going to happen? Where's he going to take me, right? We want to maintain a level of comfort and familiarity. But Jesus wants to shatter all that. Because what he wants for us is far, far beyond anything we can even see. Anything we can even imagine. That's what he wants to give us. But we can't see it. He wants us to depend on him alone so that we can be fully alive now and also when he comes again. And this is what it really means to be a true Christian, a true disciple of the Messiah. Total surrender. Total surrender. Much easier said than done, though, isn't it? And so, yes, as we can see, there's a huge gap between what he wants and what we want. Huge gap. And that's where transformation comes into play. Transformation. It's huge. As St. Peter teaches in today's second reading, the Lord is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has given you free will and is willing to wait for you to come along as your life progresses. Now, hopefully that happens sooner rather than later, but he's willing to wait all throughout your life. He mercifully gives you more chances each time you turn away from him. Very unlike what we do and what we see on the human level, right? You make a mistake, you're going to get punished for it. I'm not going to give you any mercy. You're going to get punished and then you're going to come back to me, right, and apologize, or I'm not going to have anything to do with you. That's not how the Lord operates. He just keeps offering us mercy. No matter how far away we stray from him, he keeps offering mercy. But, as Peter continues, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. We don't know when it's going to come. So be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him. At peace. We all want to be at peace, right? So be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him, as Peter urges. In other words, be prepared. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Then you will live the most amazing life possible here on earth and be confident and unafraid to share the good news with others so they can also be without blemish before him when the final time comes. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is willing to give up everything for you. In fact, he already has. He's already done that. And he's willing to wait for you in your stubbornness and brokenness to respond. But are you willing to allow him to smooth out your rough edges and to touch the deepest depths of your soul? to give you that deep healing that you need, to let him go into those dark places where you don't want anywhere to go. Are you willing to let him go there and give you that comfort that we hear about in that first reading? Are you willing to be a fool for Christ, like John the Baptist, like St. Paul, like so many others? They're not afraid to share the good news, no matter what the culture might say. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ in order to save other souls? In order to save other souls. And to be patient with others as they struggle along on their own journey of life. Christ yearns so deeply for you to draw near and allow him to love you. Allow him to nurture you. Allow him to transform you into that saint that he created you to be. But do you long deeply for him above everything else? Or is he a sideshow? Is he the center? Or is he off to the side? Today's opening prayer is very instructive. It gives us a lot of encouragement. So let's revisit that for a moment here in full. Almighty and merciful God. Almighty and yet merciful. We don't see a lot of that in our everyday world, right? Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. In haste, right? Set out in haste. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company. Relying on heavenly wisdom, right? Instead of earthly undertakings is what's being suggested there. And that's what we're all called to do, brothers and sisters. That's the best way to live. So let us all go out in haste to meet him in the Eucharist, in confession, in adoration, in our brothers and sisters, allowing him to flourish within and around us so that we can set this world ablaze with this holy fire. And brothers and sisters, let this always come from our lips, come from our hearts, this beautiful, beautiful phrase in everything we do and say, come, Lord Jesus, come.